Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see y'all here this morning, and today's the kids' day. So if you would please stand up and join in this morning's opening hymn, number 590. This is the day.
Sing that without looking at your hymnals. Isn't that great? Well, I remember that hymn growing up, and just great. And so wonderful to have all our youth here with us this Sunday and leading us. I think this is about the only thing I do during the service other than bring the sermon. So just so glad for each of them to be here and to be a part of. We are so blessed. That's all I can think of this week. We're so blessed to have the youth here. The children coming to Moscow, and we just give God praise for each one of them. We thank the Lord Jesus for each one of them, pray for their safety, and just pray that God's hand will continue to be upon each one of them. So be sure to thank the youth for all that they're doing here today and leading us in this worship service. A few announcements as we begin. I guess just the ice cream social is something you need to put on your calendar. And that's July 9th. It will be here. We're going to have an evening of music and ice cream. Now, who would want to turn that down? Not me. Want to be a part of that for sure. And I don't know if you've got a chance to hear Heaven's Mountain Band. It's the Hevner family. They are really good. It's a Christian bluegrass band. And they're really a good band. They do a nice job. It'll be just like Red Wing right here at Moscow. You can come and enjoy the music, and if you don't like bluegrass, you definitely, hopefully you like ice cream, and so we'll have that available as well. Are there any other announcements that you'd like to make mention of today? Anyone? With that, let's just bow our heads for our open, no, I can't do that, can I?
No,
I got to call on Olivia. I got to catch myself here. Olivia's going to lead us in our opening prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we open our hearts, minds, and souls to worship you. Thank you that today we dwell in your kingdom and live in your presence. Thank you that as we gather together, we join with all Christians across the world to glorify your holy name. Come be with us, inspire us, and lead us in your time together. We ask all this in the beautiful name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now, first thing in Sunday mornings, the kids read a daily devotion, so we're going to have Tanner do that for us now.
Open your hands and your heart to receive this day as a precious gift from me. I begin each day with a sunrise announcing my radiant precision
presence.
By the time you rise from your bed, I have already prepared the way before you. I eagerly await your first conscious thought. I rejoice when you glance my way. Bring me the gift of thanksgiving, which opens your heart to rich
communion
with me, because I am God from whom all blessings flow. Thankfulness is the best way to draw near me. Sing
praise
songs to tell to me, tell of my
wondrous
works. Remember that I take great delight in you. I rejoice over you with singing.
Open your bulletins and would you please stand for the call to worship? Coming from portions of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Come and see the works of the Lord.
Be still and know that I am God. The Lord Almighty is with us.
Turn your hymnal, page 344. He's got the whole world in his hands. Page 344.
That I have on my list. If you would put the name Scott Cook on your prayer list, be in prayer for Scott for healing, for some testing that is coming up. Scott's here with us. He's at the back sitting. And Scott, our prayers are with you for that upcoming testing and God's healing hand upon you. Also, the name Jenny Smith was given to me by Pauline. If you would, a friend of hers just keep Jenny in your prayers for healing for her. Also, Kenny Woods, who is here with us today, I don't know how he's doing it. He probably should be home with his leg up, but I know he wanted to be here so bad today because of the Youth Sunday. We're glad that you're here, Kenny. And he was actually just in the hospital, spent the night, Friday night into Saturday in the hospital. He's got a very bad infection in his leg, and it's down in his leg foot. In fact, they got him on a high dose of antibiotics and told him that
I ain't supposed to be here.
He's disobeying the doctor's orders, I think.
I got all afternoon propping my feet up.
Yeah, we definitely need your feet up. But Kenny, we're praying for you. And we appreciate all the help and the guidance and leadership that you bring to the youth. So really appreciate that.
We have a lot of fun. Yeah.
He has a heart of compassion for the children and children's ministry, and we just appreciate that so much out of you, Kenny. But when you get home, you need to get that foot up. Doctor's orders, right?
Wife's orders, too.
Yeah, I think so. Also, my dad, Dana, will be having surgery on his heart on Wednesday. They're going to do ablation procedure on Dana. And so we're just praying that that will bring him some relief, some help. And so I ask that you to have him in your prayers on Wednesday as he receives that procedure on his heart. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share?
Alan Zimmerman.
Other names? Yes, what a blessing. Just a praise for the rain. So many weeks there we didn't have anything, and so we just thank the Lord for that. Again, just a special praise for our youth being here. I think we're all just so blessed by their leadership with us today, or leading us in worship, rather, and just a blessing to have them here. So we just praise the Lord for that. Yes. Yep.
Oh, but the rooster crowing.
That's right. That was a first for me. He was celebrating, wasn't he? Yes. Yeah. Absolutely, Kathy. Glad to. Cassandra and Tristan are doing well, and we just praise the Lord for that, and a special blessing upon them as their new married life. So praise the Lord for that. Anyone else? Robert? Oh, and you even gave, you messed up a little bit there. You gave age. You never. But Marcia 40 is still absolutely young. This is coming from a 43-year-old, so. Yeah. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, absolutely. Other praises or prayer requests? Pauline? Yes, go ahead, Pauline.
Week they found out she's got a leaky valve, one is not working,
and they were supposed to take her this coming Thursday. Of course, some type of surgery or find out exactly what's going on. Since then, they called and changed the doctor, so she really doesn't know what's going to happen. So please keep her in your prayers. Jenny's here. Thank you.
Thank you, Pauline, for updating us there and certainly be in prayer for Jenny for those upcoming appointments and just God's healing hand upon her. Yeah. Gail?
Keep my dad in your prayers.
Yes.
He's actually having a good week, and we just had the 55th anniversary yesterday.
Okay.
But he looks really bad.
Right. Certainly we continue to keep your dad in our prayers. Yeah. Thank you, Gail, for keeping us updated and that celebration, the 55th anniversary. Praise the Lord for that. So, anyone else? With that, I'm going to call for our ushers to come forward with our morning tithes and offerings.
And pray. Please stand and bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you that you can satisfy our desire and we need. Your word says that we should give honor to you with the first fruits of our wealth. Accept our tithes and offerings as a gift of worship to you. Multiply what we give you an effective growth of your kingdom. May Christ dwell in our hearts through faith so that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. May we be filled with all the fullness of God. We pray all through this, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Before we go any farther, I want to take some time here just to recognize some of our youth that have met some educational milestones, and we like to recognize the children here as they move up through the school system, as they even as they start, really. This year, though, we have some children that are going to be going into middle school. There's a list here actually inside your bulletin, this little insert. It has a list of those kids that will be moving up to middle school this coming school season, and also those that will be moving into high school as well. And we have 9 kids that are making that transition. And so we just want to recognize them this morning and, of course, give them a little gift, a little something from the church that recognizes and appreciates all their hard work. So maybe I'll start with, here's Corbin's going to help me. Corbin, I'm gonna put you in charge of this right here, okay? And you hand them to me, and we'll recognize all the ones moving into middle school. And so first we have Caroline Byerly, if she would come forward. Maybe save your applause till the end. We'll just have you stand right there. And Caroline, thank you. And then we have Jensen Myers. Is Jensen here? Here he comes. Jensen, we're going to embarrass you after all. And if you'd stand right here beside Caroline, if you would. And then we have Olivia Ogorek. She would come forward. Congratulations, Olivia. And then we have Carson. There's Carson. Good job, Carson. And then lastly, we have Ava Usler. She didn't make it. Well, we can give this to Janet, and she'll get it there to her. And these are study Bibles that the church has given you guys to help in your study of God's Word. I hope that you use this Bible and keep it close by and continue to study God's Word. So why don't we just give a little congratulations to them. Okay, you can go back and be seated. Okay. Yeah. Now, our high schoolers, they've already received a Bible when they went into middle school. And so we're going to give them something a little different, which is a Bible help or a study guide book that they can use. And it has just all sorts of information and pictures in there that will help them in their study of the Bible as they continue to keep digging and learning God's Word. So first of all, Rachel Showalter, will you come forward? And then Mason Mance, he didn't make it. We'll make sure that he gets that. Quentin Myers, we'll get to embarrass Quentin too. Is he? Good job, Quentin. Congratulations. Stand right here beside Rachel. And then lastly, Nathan Black, if you would come forward. Why don't we just give them a round of congratulations?
Alan, would you like to come up and get all 7 of them?
Yeah, that'd be good. Alan wants a picture. Come forward and just have them line up here. No order is needed, just kind of line up to where you can. Alan can get a picture. Good job. Yeah, good job. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Good job. Thank you. Also, as I'd shared earlier, my dad Dana is getting surgery. He'd asked this morning when he came in that he'd like to be anointed for this procedure. And so I will ask Dana to come forward now. Debbie. If I could have the deacons that are here to come forward, and others as well that would like to come forward and participate, please do so now. Just stand right here in the center. Others that will come forward. We're just going to lay our hands on Dana and just pray that this procedure goes well, which we know it will, because we're trusting in the Lord. We anoint because the Scripture tells us to anoint. James chapter 5 tells us if there are those that are sick, those that are in need of healing, to bring them before the elders of the church, to anoint them with oil, to pray for them for healing. And so that's exactly what we're doing. We're following right along with Scripture, and we're going to anoint now Dana in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, on Wednesday, we know, Lord, that things are going to go good for Dana's procedure because, Lord, you are there. We are anointing Dana for this healing, for your will of healing to be upon Dana. And, Lord, we just pray that he goes in for that procedure, that all things will go perfect and according to your perfect will for Dana. Just pray for this healing that he needs, Lord. Just pray that this procedure will help his heart. And Lord, that the doctors and nurses, Lord, that your anointing will be upon them. That all things will go exactly as they should, Lord. And Lord, when this procedure is over, that Lord will be able to just all rejoice and celebrate, give thanks for the good results that Dana will ultimately receive. Because, Lord, not only of their work, but Lord, most importantly, your work. And so, Lord, in accordance to Scripture, we anoint Dana right now for your healing upon his life. Lord, we thank you for all the miracles you've already worked in his life. He sees your hand upon him, Lord. He knows throughout his life your hand has been upon him. And, Lord, we've seen that. He can testify to that, Lord. And this is just going to be another testimony for him of just how your hand is upon him and how he can see your hand working in his life. So, Lord, we just pray right now, Lord, your healing upon Dana. Lord, we give you all praise now. In name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Spirit. We pray these things. Amen.
Thank you.
And we're gonna stay right here because Kenny, we're gonna anoint you now. We're gonna stay right here. We're gonna anoint Kenny. This is a very serious situation.
Yes, it is.
The doctors told Kenny if this doesn't work, that he's at potentially could lose his foot. And so this is a very serious thing. We do not want that for Kenny, nor does the Lord want that for Kenny. And we want this healing to take place. And so, Kenny, in accordance to Scripture, we're going to anoint you in the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray a healing right now upon our brother Kenny. Lord, he needs your healing upon his leg. Lord, we pray for that healing right now. Might these antibiotics that he received at the hospital begin to work. And Lord, bring the healing and the swelling down, Lord. Might he just feel your holy hand, your hand of healing, that touch upon him right now. Lord, even through your Holy Spirit, I pray this healing upon him. Lord, he needs that. Lord, we don't want Kenny to lose his leg or his foot, Lord. But Lord, we need healing for him. And Lord, we just pray that for him right now. In accordance with your Scripture, Lord, and in accordance with your will, Lord, we pray your healing upon Kenny. Father, we just thank you for the good work that he does here at Moscow, for all those that he continues to encourage and lead and direct in following your son Jesus. Lord, he needs your help to continue that work and your strength, Lord, and your healing. And that's what we pray right now, Lord, your healing upon Kenny. Father, we praise you, and we pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you, brother. Hey, Corbin, can you get me a napkin? Yeah, thank you, buddy. Yeah, part of church is we are a praying group, aren't we? Lord calls us to pray for one another, to lift each other up in prayer. And we're going to continue to do that. So thanks for all the prayers for each one of the Dana and for Kenny, and we're just going to continue to pray for them as they receive God's healing. Okay, I want you to turn now in your scripture to Luke chapter 15. And children, if I could, I'm going to get you to come right down on this front row here, because I want you to hear me. And there's more than enough room here on each side if you need. There's the right side and left side. Yeah. You accept side Janet, too. Yeah. There we go. And I want you to turn your Bible to Luke chapter 15. I'm going to turn there as soon as Corbin's bring me a napkin for my fingers, because I've got oil on them. You got something? Here he comes. Here comes Corbin. Luke chapter 15. It's not every Sunday. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. Hey, seat's taken. There you go. You got a spot. Perfect. It's not every Sunday that I get to preach a sermon to our youth. Our youth are learning the Bible. They're doing it there downstairs often. But this Sunday, I do get to preach to them, and I thought I would pick a portion of Scripture that has meant a lot to me, especially in my growing up, one that I think teaches us some lessons that we should learn and know and remember. Kind of like those little hymns that we sang already in our service. Those are good things to remember. And so I want to give you three things I believe that every young person needs to know. Maybe not just young person. I think we all could learn a little something from this story. But it comes to us, of course, in Luke chapter 15. And it's the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. Maybe you've heard this story already, but I'm going to read it to you. And then we're going to try to gain some real insight into what this story teaches each one of us. So if you have your Bible, just turn there. Luke chapter 15, picking up at verse 11, and it says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons." This is Jesus talking. "He said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living," or sinful living. "But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I would perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robes and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." It's a beautiful little story, isn't it? Maybe you've heard it. It's a wonderful story. Of course, it's a tragic story as well, but of course it ends with renewal. It ends with celebration. And it's a story that reminds us, I think, each one of us, especially us young, you young ones, that every person has to make a choice in life. Every person makes a choice. You have the choice of whether you will obey God, whether you will listen to His word and follow what He has to say, honoring your mother and father and obeying Him, or you can choose to walk away, to leave God, to dishonor God, to dishonor your parents. And every young person gets to make this choice. Sometimes it's a choice that you make over and over and over. But this choice comes to every person, whether or not you're going to choose to obey God, or whether you're going to choose a path of destruction. And so this young man in our story, he made his choice, didn't he? And what was his choice? His choice was to disobey God, wasn't it? To dishonor his mother and father. And to rather choose to live a life that is seeking out his sinful desires, his sinful lusts. And so what does he do? He foolishly asks his father for his inheritance so that he can go out and live his sinful life. You know, he needed money, didn't he? He was going to live the worldly ways and to disobey God, to live for his sinful lust, then he needed money. And so he came to his father and he said, I want what is mine. I want one third of my inheritance, or I want my third of the inheritance, rather. You know, most people don't ask their mom and dad for their inheritance while they're still alive, do they? That's something that usually happens when mom and dad is passed away. Why would that be a bad thing for mom and dad to give away all their possessions, or at least a third of their possessions at that point? Well, it probably put his parents in a very difficult situation, didn't it? Could you imagine asking your mom and dad to say, I want you to sell off, maybe either you're one of two or one of three, I want you to sell off one half or one third of all that you have so that you can give me all the money. Sell off your cars and get rid of your home because I want the money to go out and live the way I want to live. Boy, that would be pretty rude, wouldn't it? Couldn't imagine doing such a thing. But that's exactly what this boy did. He said, I want my inheritance, I want this money, and I want to go out and live the life I want to live, and that means that mom and dad, you're going to have to sell off whatever you need to make sure that I have at least what I am owed, one third. And so that's what he did. You know, someone once wisely said, sinning not only breaks God's law, but it also breaks God's heart. Isn't that something? Sinning not only breaks God's law, but it breaks God's heart. And you can see that here. Imagine how awful his parents must have felt. Here he's asking for money. He's going to leave. He's not going to be around to help there on the farm. He's not going to be able to help his mom and dad as they age. He's taken away what they need to survive. And he's saying, I'm just going to go and blow it however I want without any care or concern about anyone else than me. And isn't that what really sin is? It's so selfish, isn't it? And sin breaks the heart of God. And we can see God's heart breaking in this story. Sin is always selfish. It's selfish. It always seeks its truth in selfish desires and in our own self-gratification. Sin is a selfish activity. That's really what it is. Whenever you are sinning, you are only thinking about yourself. You're thinking about yourself. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, and value others above yourself. Notice how it puts that in there. Because really, that's what sinning is. It's not valuing others. It's not thinking of others. This boy wasn't thinking of his mom and dad or even his brother who had a portion of that inheritance. He was thinking about himself. And that's what sinning is. Now that brings me to the first point here. And I want you to take note of this. Number one, sin promises you what it cannot keep, and it delivers to you what you do not want. That's what it does. It promises you something that it cannot keep. I heard someone say, sin promises you God, but it delivers you the devil. It promises you God, but it delivers you the devil. That is, it promises you good things. It promises you excitement. It promises you good feeling. If you do these things, if you sin, that these things will fulfill you, that you'll be happy, that you'll be glad, and you think that that sinning is going to bring you that, when really, it can't keep the promise. That the Bible says that that sort of feeling is only for a short time. That once you're so far into sinning that good feeling goes away. And that you're left then with the effects of sin. Sin, it lies to us. It tells us that if it feels good, it must be good. And that's not true. Just because it feels good doesn't necessarily mean that it is good. Sin starts out feeling good, but then it turns into what I would say an uncontrollable nightmare in which we are left often dealing with. Maybe you'll get the opportunity or someone will offer you to drink alcohol with friends. They'll say, this will be a good thing. This will be something that will make you feel good. You'll be happy when you drink. But the long-term results of alcohol and alcohol abuse can have deadly consequences in your life. Maybe someone will say, hey, here, some drugs. Try these drugs. They'll make you feel so good. They're exactly what you need. But note the effects of drugs upon your mind and your body. They will have a deadening effect. Someone might say, hey, sexual relationships, sex out of wedlock is something that is good. Do that. It'll make you feel good. But the effects of this sin can be unwanted pregnancy. It can be disease and emotional scars in your life. Sin, listen, it is the great deceiver. It deceives you. It might start out feeling good, but the effects of sin in your life are very, very destructive. Hebrews 11:25 says, the pleasures of sin are only for a season. How long does a season last? Not very long, does it? Seasons continue to change, don't they? And that's how it is with sinful living. You start out, sin has its pleasures, it's great, everything's, it's providing what you think that your friends are telling you it's going to provide. But then guess what? That season ends. And sin has its torment and its destruction then in your life. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled when others tell you that sinful living is something that is good for you. Because it absolutely is not. There's a great quote that goes like this. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. And isn't that exactly what happens to this young man? What did he do? He takes out his inheritance, and it says here that he took his portion and that he went off to live a sinful life. And after many days, it says, the younger son gathered all together and he journeyed to a far country and he wasted his possession with prodigal living. That is sinful living. He just went out and lived the sinful life that he thought would fulfill his life. And what did it result in? You read on down, you notice there, that after he had wasted all his money, he was left without nothing. There's a great famine that came in the land. And now he's out feeding pigs on the hillside. And the food that he's given to the pigs is more than he himself has. Think of that. He's actually craving and desiring the scraps. What do you feed the pig?
Slop.
Do we eat slop?
No.
No, we don't. Not unless I'm cooking. If I'm cooking, you will definitely have slop. But we don't eat slop, do we? Slop is something for the pig. And here's this guy. He's looking at the slop that is thrown out to the pigs, and he's saying, oh, man, if I could just have some of that slop. Listen, he wasn't even allowed to have the slop for the pigs. It says no one gave him anything. That means the guys that owned the pigs said, no, you don't get the slop. My pigs are worth more than you. Look what sin had done to him in his life. He went to a place of prominence in his family, there with his family who loved him, and he had all that he needed there. God was providing for his family and for him, and because of sin, he wasted it all away. And he found himself in a place of complete misery. And that's where sin takes you. That's where sin leads you. So don't be fooled. Don't allow the deceptive lie of sin seep into your life. Be sure you remember this story and where sin ultimately leads a person if they continue to sin in their life. The Bible says in Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's what God says. Okay, number one, notice there, sin promises you what it cannot keep. It delivers you what you do not want. Number two, notice it is never, though, too late to come to your senses. It is never too late to turn back and repent. I think one of the most important verses in all this story comes right there in verse 17. It says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And yet I will perish with hunger. He knows. He's right on the edge of death. He is dying. If you don't eat for long enough, guess what? You die. And he is on the edge of starving to death. And he comes to his senses. And he says, even my father's hired servants, they have enough to eat. And they have enough to spare even. Why don't I go back and see if my father will receive me? Even as a servant, he would be more blessed than as a son at this point. And I think that's an important lesson to each one of us at this point, that it's never too late to come to your senses. It's never too late to turn back and repent. You know what repent means in the Bible? It means to change directions. It means it's a change of heart. It's a change of direction. The direction that I was going, if I repent, now I am going another direction. The direction that this young man was going was the path of sin and destruction. And he says, I'm going to stop going that way. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go home and go back to my father. And so he repented. He changed his life. He changed his heart and his direction. And he came back home. I think that's one of the most beautiful blessings that we see in the Bible, is that there is always a chance to change. You know, there's no place where God says, no, I won't receive you anymore. I think that's one of the most difficult things I see as a pastor, is there are people that have the belief that because they've sinned or because they've made so many wrong choices, that they think that the Father would not accept them back. And they say, no, I won't seek God because I know that they believe that He doesn't love them anymore. And that's not true, is it? God loves us, doesn't He? Listen, there is nothing that you can do to stop God from loving you. There's nothing. And so it don't matter how many bad choices we've made, how far we've went down the wrong path, we can always stop and say, you know what? God wants me to come home. He wants me to return. Hey, that's my story as well. That's all of our stories, really. We've all walked down the wrong path. We've all made wrong decisions. We've all made sinful choices like this young man. But what makes us Christian is that we stopped at some point and we said, we're not going to travel this road anymore. That this road, this path is a path to destruction. That I'm going to repent, I'm going to turn my life around, and I'm going to go back to my Father. For us, it's our Heavenly Father, isn't it? And will the Father receive us back? Absolutely. There's nothing we can do that will stop God's love. There's nothing we can do that will make God love us any less. Here's another good one. There's nothing that we can do to make God love us any more. Now that's a deep truth. Nothing we can do to make God love us any less. Nothing we can do to make God love us any more. And so this boy, he comes home. And how is he received? Well, the father, it says, sees him while he is still a great way off. And the father, it says, had compassion on him. And so he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him, it says. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned. So this is this repentant statement. I sinned against heaven and against you and your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring out the fatted calf, kill it, let us eat and be merry. For the son that was dead is alive again, and he that was lost is found, and they began to be merry. Last point, you can never out-sin God's forgiveness, and there is nothing that you can do to break God's love. Boy, if you ever find yourself wandering away from God, I hope that you remember this wonderful story here, that your Heavenly Father has the desire that you will come home. And He's waiting and He's ready for you. He's ready to receive you back. He's ready to have this great celebration for your return. God loves you. And there is nothing you can do that will make Him love you any less or any more. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this story. I pray that the youth hear this story today, just how much they are loved. Lord, how much their Heavenly Father, Lord, You do not want to see them, Lord, choose a path of destruction in their life. Lord, that they might not choose to live after their sinful lusts. And Lord, I just pray that they hear this story, even today. They receive it into their hearts, Lord. Lord, that they know that You desire for them to make good choices in their life. And Lord, that You desire for them the very best. Lord, You love them with all Your heart. And Lord, I just pray that each one of them will seek You and seek to please You and love You first in their life. Lord, we praise You for this story of redemption. Lord, we praise You for this story of salvation. Lord, we thank You that this story of this young man is our story too. And we praise You. Father, we give You all thanks and praise now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Isaac's going to come forward now and share with us a closing prayer. And then, of course, we'll have a benediction as well.
Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have revealed Your love to us today. We invite You to send us out from here in the power of the Holy, Spirit. Fan into flames the gifts that You have given us. Come reveal Your grace and truth to us each day. For Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand now in our closing hymn, page 579, Jesus Loves Me, page 579.
Now while we're getting ready, Quentin, come on back up. Jensen, come on, kids, come on back up here. Jackson, like for you to join us. Gunner, Hunter, Miss Kim, Miss Katie, come on up. Now, today might be Youth Sunday, but we didn't have much that we could do with the little guys. And you know, it's not just the older kids that are part of this church, it's these young ones as well. Miss Katie Myers, Miss Kim Swope is their teacher. They prepare them at a smaller age than what I got. And it's just a blessing to have all these kids. And it just, without these kids, we don't have a future as a church or a family. These guys are awesome. It's amazing. And I love every one of them just like if they was my own. Thank y'all for bringing them out every Sunday and letting them be a part of a family, a group. I asked them last Sunday, I said, kids, do y'all honestly learn anything when y'all come in here? And they looked at me and they said, well, yeah. Psst, okay, I'm speechless. That wasn't the answer I was expecting. I had something to go after that, but they shut me up right there. I didn't have a comeback. Thank you, guys. You're a beautiful group. I love y'all. And now we're going to sing this last hymn with a lot of heart. And just because what Darren said, Jesus loves me. And we're going to make sure that everybody knows this.
Page 579.
Share our closing benediction. Before she does, though, let's just again show appreciation for all those who work to help with the children. Paige, I turn it over to you.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lifts up his face towards you and gives you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.